51. Lights glowed dimly from the south wing of Seashells. Gabe eschewed the main entrance and led their small group around to the opposite side of the house. The children stared up with wide eyes.
"This is all yours?" Sam asked.
"Yes."
"It's like Wayne Manor," he breathed out in awe.
"Or Ariel's castle,"
Gracie added.
"You don't have the front door key?" Katie asked. "I don't want to disturb Miriam. She's the head nurse, if she's in the main house. And the south wing is where Charlotte's daughter is." Gabe hesitated. He didn't want to say kept, but what could he say?
Maintained?
Looked after?
"Where she sleeps," he finished. "We'll go through the family kitchen."
"There's more than one."
"The south wing is pretty much self-contained. Sleeping quarters for the nurses on shift, a kitchen, bathrooms. Charlotte had the extension specially built when she brought her daughter home from hospital. Not that you'd know it was a later addition to the house."
"I can't believe the hospital let her remove her daughter from their care. I mean, I've read about court cases where parents have been stopped from doing that."
Gabe inserted his key in the side door, and it swung open.
"The hospital couldn't do anything more for her.
And money lets you do a lot of things most people can't." They stepped inside and Gabe flicked on the lights. He heard Katie let out a small gasp. The kitchen was huge. Gleaming chrome appliances, smooth granite worktops and a shiny tiled floor that reflected the spotlight set into the ceiling. A large American-style fridge freezer faced them. An island stood in the middle that was the size of, well, most people's kitchens. "The original kitchen was getting a bit old," Gabe explained. "Miriam asked if she could put in a new one." Katie gazed around.
"Miriam has expensive tastes."
"She works hard. This is her home."
"Wait, you don't live here?"
"No," he said shortly, throwing the keys onto the massive island.
"Never?"
"No."
"How long have you owned it?"
9 years. He crossed the kitchen to a door, which led out to a short corridor, and then to a large oval hallway. Off this was the living room, dining room, and a winding staircase which led to the second floor, the master bedroom, and 3 guest bedrooms. Miriam would probably be working on the other side of the house, or asleep if she wasn't on duty tonight, in which case she would be in the nurse's quarters close to Isabella. He didn't want to wake or alarm her, or have her calling the police because she thought there were burglars in the house. He took out his phone and quickly typed a text. "Miriam, just stopping in the house tonight. We'll explain later. Gabe, kiss kiss." She was bound to realize something was wrong, of course. He had missed a visit, and he had only ever stopped at Seashells once before, a couple of weeks after Jenny and Izzy. He had been aimlessly driving, not wanting to go back to their house, which would never again feel like a home, not knowing where to go, and he had ended up here. Miriam found him weeping at Isabella's bedside, and she had taken him into the main house, forced him to eat something and made up a bed. She hadn't asked questions, although she must have seen the news. She had simply looked after him. Gabe supposed that was her job, but whether it was duty or compassion, he had gratefully accepted it. Gabe looked back at the small, bedraggled group. His long-lost daughter, a waitress he barely knew, and her 2 children, thinking that he could do with some of Miriam's no-nonsense care right now. What was he supposed to do with them? He felt someone touch his arm. Katie.
"It was a long journey. We're all pretty worn out and hungry. Why don't I make something to eat and we can talk after the children are in bed?"
"Right. Okay. Of course." He realized it had been a long time since he had had to consider anyone's needs but his own. He was out of practice at being a parent. Or a partner. The warm imprint of Katie's fingers lingered as she walked away towards the fridge. She pulled open the doors and peered inside, wrinkling her nose.
"A lot of ready meals, but not much else."
She started opening cupboards. Gabe joined her and found several multipacks of baked beans. Katie smiled and brandished a loaf of bread.
No finer feast.
They ate around the breakfast bar. Gabe turned on the flat screen on the wall, and CITV played in the background, in a way that was both vaguely irritating and immensely comforting. Funny the things you forget you miss, he thought. Like the sound of kids' TV, or tripping over children's shoes, or their lack of tact and subtlety.
So your real name is Izzy?
Sam asked. Izzy nodded.
And you're her real dad?
He said to Gabe. Yes.
Our dad left to live with stupid Amanda, Gracie said.
Right.
She stinks of perfume, Sam added. And she won't push me on the swings in case she breaks a nail, Gracie said. Then she goes like this.
The pair pulled weirdly contorted faces. Izzy giggled. Gabe felt something strange happen. A surge of warmth in his stomach. A desire to giggle with her. It felt strange, but nice. Happiness, he thought. This is what happiness feels like. It had been so long, he had forgotten the sensation. He found himself staring at Izzy again. She was alive. This was real. On the way here, he had felt as though he was burning up with questions. How? Where? Why? But right now, he didn't care about the answers. He didn't care how this had come to be. He just wanted to enjoy sitting, eating baked beans on toast with his daughter. Something most parents wouldn't think twice about, but a moment of banal, ordinary life he had thought he would never experience again. After the plates had been scraped clean, Gabe found a family pack of biscuits in another cupboard. They managed to maintain the sheen of normality as they munched on them, keeping the conversation generic. It helped, Gabe thought, that children have a shorter attention span and a much greater adaptability to new situations than adults. They just accept stuff for what it is. Sam was more fascinated with the house than how they came to be here. He wanted to know how big it was, how many bedrooms it had. Did it have a swimming pool? Was there a butler? After exhausting the questions and the custard creams and jammy dodgers, Gracie started to yawn. It had somehow got to almost 7 o'clock.
I think it's bedtime, Katie said meaningfully. She glanced at Gabe. We'd better sort out where the children are going to sleep. I mean, obviously you're not short of rooms.
Gabe thought. Well, the master bedroom is probably made up. I'm not sure about the others.
I don't want to sleep on my own,
Gracie immediately said.
Me neither, Sam added.
Izzy didn't say anything, but she seemed to shrink a little closer to Gabe.
Okay, well, why don't Sam, Gracie and Izzy share the master bedroom? Katie suggested. I'm presuming there's a double bed so they can top and tail.
Right, good idea. And what about us? I mean, well, there are two more doubles. I can probably find some bedding.
Great. I'm tired, Mummy.
Gracie yawned again.
Okay, sweetheart, let's get you upstairs.
Katie smiled.
Hey, at least you're already in your pajamas.
Gabe led them into the hall, flicking on lights as he went. The vastness still surprised him. He watched Katie and the children staring around in awe, imagining it through their eyes. It also seemed unnecessary. Who needed this much space, this many rooms? A small home could burst with love, and yet this place, despite the plush carpets and silk wallpaper, seemed threadbare of joy. They trailed up the winding staircase. It had been a long while since he had been on this side of the house, and it felt more unfamiliar than ever. He paused on the landing, which was the master. Right, he thought. Just down here, he said.
You could get lost in this place, Katie said.
But something in her voice made it sound more like a criticism than a compliment. He felt a strange urge to defend Charlotte. I think Charlotte's husband bought it as a family home, but then he died. Charlotte never remarried, never had any more children, and then there was the accident.
His fault.
All his fault. He pushed open the bedroom door.
In here.
Whoa, Sam muttered.
The bedroom, like everywhere else, was huge. The bed was a four-poster, easily enough room for four adults, yet alone three children. Sam and Gracie threw themselves on it. The long journey, the exhaustion, the strangeness of this unfamiliar house instantly forgotten. A massive bay window took up most of one wall. The curtains were open. In the day, you could see views that stretched out over the ocean. Tonight, you could just make out the dark body of water, rising and falling restlessly. Above it, the wind whisked, scudding clouds past the semicircular moon. Izzy walked towards the window. The windows were double-glazed, but you could still hear the buffeting of the wind, the distant roar of the waves. Against the dark panes, she looked frighteningly small and fragile. Gabe had an urge to grab her, to pull her back from the storm building outside. Instead, he walked over and stood beside her. Their own shadowy reflections stared back at them. Ghosts, hovering in thin air. "You can see miles out to sea on a clear day," he told her. Izzy raised a hand and touched the glass.
"The beach is down there."
"Yes."
"Have I been here before?"
Gabe frowned.
"I don't..."
And then he remembered. Jenny had been ill. He had told her he would take Izzy to work for the day, but it had been a Monday, so they had come here. Izzy could only have been 8 or 9 months old. "Once," he said, "but you were just a baby." She withdrew her hand and clutched the rucksack to her chest. It rattled and clicked, and Gabe realized what the sound of it made him think of. Pebbles. But why would Izzy carry around a bag of pebbles? And then he remembered something else, something he hadn't thought about in years. When Izzy was a toddler, she used to have these odd sleep episodes. Obviously, toddlers napped quite a lot, but she would just suddenly fall asleep anywhere. 1 minute awake and gabbing, the next, gone. Gabe had felt sure she would grow out of it, like her weird fear of mirrors, but Jenny had insisted it wasn't normal. Then, one day when Izzy was about 3, he'd arrived home from work to find Jenny hysterical.
"She did it again. Just fell asleep, and when she woke up, I found this in her hand."
"What is it?"
"A pebble."
"Oh. Where does she get it?"
"That's it. I don't know. What if she'd put it in her mouth? What if she'd choked?"
He had tried to be sympathetic, but he had been tired and distracted, and probably made Jenny feel that she was overreacting. Kids pick stuff up, right? And it hadn't happened again, at least not that Jenny had mentioned. But now he wondered. Pebbles. The beach. And then another thought thrust itself into his head. The strange, shiny stone in the Samaritan's tooth. An icy draught seemed to seep through the windows and wash over him.
"She wanted us to come."
He glanced back down at Izzy. "What?
Who?"
But Izzy was already backing away from the window, shaking her head, whether at him or something she could see in the glass, he wasn't sure.
"No. Not now."
Who was she talking to? Then he jumped as Katie clapped her hands briskly together.
"Okay, let's get you all into bed."
The children climbed into bed with surprisingly few complaints. The room smelt a little fusty, but the bed was large and comfortable, and the somnolent effect of soft pillows and clean sheets soothed them almost instantly. Katie kissed Sam and Gracie on their heads.
"Night-night. Sleep tight."
Gabe hesitated for a moment, and then sat down beside Izzy, at the other end of the bed. He bent and pressed his lips to her forehead. Her skin felt ridiculously soft. Her hair smelt faintly of shampoo. He breathed her in. Her scent was so familiar, and yet so strange. Once her small, supple body had felt almost like a part of his own. Now it was all new to him. All of this, having a daughter, being a father. He had to relearn it. Relearn it and do it better this time.
"Night-night. Daddy."
"Yes." She stared up at him with sleepy eyes.
You won't go away, will you?
No. I'm not going anywhere.
Never ever.
Never ever. If only there was such a thing, such a place, he thought. He brushed a wisp of hair from her forehead. Never ever. He rose and walked to the door.
I'll leave a light on outside,
Katie whispered. But the only reply was a trio of heavy breaths. She pulled the door to. Gabe stared at the sleeping form of his daughter through the gap. He didn't want to leave her. Didn't want to ever let her out of his sight again. Never ever. But right now, there were things he needed to know. He turned to Katie. Shall we?